This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is Joy 94.9's Family Matters podcast, your light-hearted look at parenthood and rainbow families, sponsored by Berry Street. Did you know that Berry Street seeks members of our LGBTI communities to become foster carers? Not only do they have a proud tradition of training and embracing LGBTIQ carers, they officially support marriage equality. Learn more now at berrystreet.org.au, a proud Joy sponsor for over 5 years.
You gotta see the baby. When are you gonna see the baby?
Family Matters.
Good evening. You are listening to Family Matters. It is Thursday night, 8 o'clock. This is Mama Mish. We've got producer Gina on panel. And I'm saying, Beck. Beautiful Beck.
Oh, stop it, Michelle. Beck. I was like, where's she going with that? There was a big gap before she said that.
I'm trying to think of, you know, new names for everyone. Now, how are we on this beautiful, humid day?
I'm still trying to dry off from coming into the studio. One, from the humidity. Two, from being soaked in the rain on the way in.
I was enjoying a beautiful cup of coffee down in Altona. And next thing, coming down rain, I hear the thunder. I'm going, you know what? I'm just going to sit here for the next couple hours.
Well, I was at the cricket. Dave's not here, so I'll butch up tonight.
Did you get rained out?
Yeah, we got rained out.
Look at me using
cricket. You said the right words, Gina. That was unexpected.
Yes, I am a lesbian.
I think what I love most is how everyone bitches how summer hasn't come yet. And then summer comes like, no, wait a minute, never mind, forget it.
Yeah, that's right. I feel like today, I saw something on Facebook today that said that time between Christmas and New Year when you don't know what day it is or who you are or what you're doing. And I'm like, it's so true. Like, I feel like I'm here in my casual clothes. I'm not here in my work clothes. I'm very confused.
Do you feel lost?
I feel a bit casual. I don't know what might happen as it goes on.
Showing some flesh tonight.
And that's probably why I sent 5 messages to everyone reminding them, don't forget tonight we're on air. But don't forget tonight we're on air. We're on air tonight. Well, where is everyone and what time is it?
We're all in that Christmas mindset. Speaking of Christmas mindset, how did we all go for Christmas?
Maybe we can talk about it after.
Okay. Well, we'll get into that afterward. If you do want to SMS us and reach out to us, you can SMS us at 0427-JOY949. You can email us on air at joy.org.au, or you can phone in 1-300-JOY949.
But Dave's not going to be here to run and answer the phone. Oh, maybe I'll answer the phone. I've done it a few times tonight. They hung up on me, but that's okay.
Oh, well.
Maybe bloody Dave's in bloody Europe.
We'll get into Christmas right after these messages.
Family Matters at Joy. Your voice, your radio.
Oh, Georgie boy.
I know.
I listened to Careless Whisper 14 times yesterday. Oh, that's a truth. Okay,
I'm never going to dance again with you, Ben.
No.
Gina? Because guilty feet have got no rhythm.
That's right. Welcome back. This is Family Matters. If you do want to reach out to us, you can SMS us at 0427-JOY949. You can email us on air at joy.org.au. And don't forget, we are a pack of twits, and you can get us on Twitter at Family Matters 94. Facebook is facebook.com/Family Matters. We're everywhere.
We are.
And just because Dave has left us to gallivant around Europe for 4 weeks does not mean hashtag Find David Day is dead.
No.
Because I don't know what he's going to do over there, but when he gets back, I would like to have a few dates lined up waiting for him.
That'd be so funny.
Yeah.
All the different tags. Oh, look, Dave, I got ticker tape. 1, 2, 3.
Yeah, that's right. That's my aim. So I like that. Hashtag Find David Day.
So how was Christmas? Did we survive? Oh, jeez.
I spent 4 days living in Mum and Dad's spare room. Then I spent 9 hours in the car with them driving back from Adelaide.
Are we there yet?
Then I've just had them in my apartment for another 2 days. And then this morning I Googled for them and I said, I've got family fatigue. It's a real thing. It's a disease. I read about it on the internet. Apparently it's a very common phenomenon at Christmas. They said they're sick of me too. Like it's, you know, we're all open about it. But yeah, family fatigue. That's what I've got. Anyway, I need a break. Tonight's the first night I'm going to not have many other people in my house. So
okay.
I'm going to go home and go crazy.
Oh, wow. Oh. Like just let loose.
Yeah.
Oh. Party at Beck's.
That's party at Beck's.
No, I don't want people around. That's the whole point.
Whereas I was naughty auntie during Christmas because it was such a hot, hot day. Mm. I thought the only right thing for me to do was, you know those water balloons that you plug yeah. into the tap?
Oh, and they fill them all the way.
I'm sure they're very bad for the environment, and I'm very sorry to all the little seals out there after our pet episode last week. Actually, we're going to have to make an attraction.
No, yeah, Dave is going to have one of those.
Dave's got an apology coming in a couple of weeks.
I actually think
in the country.
Adrian's
think
probably the one that needs to do the apology, but anyway.
But Auntie Gina bought 600 of those water balloons.
Oh, geez.
Look, it was a hot day.
It was a hot day. And they were awesome. That and a slip and slide. I'm not a fan of water guns, but they were there and I seemed to, you know, to do the right thing, I held on to the water gun, not to encourage the kids.
Because if you're going to have a weapon, Auntie Gina's going to hold it.
Of course.
So as they were coming down the slide, I was using the water gun.
As long as they're not the ones doing the shooting, it's fine.
But exactly.
You, as the good Greek that you are, you did go to church.
Well, I didn't go to Greek Orthodox Church because we don't do that. We do that for Easter because, you know, there's a lot more ritual and food around then. So I don't do it. But I did go to Catholic Church. Is that what you call
yes.
it?
Yes. So did I.
My gorgeous little niece, it's also her birthday on Christmas Eve. So she kind of gets that raw end of the stick where you kind of, you know, miss out on all the parties and all that sort of stuff. So my gorgeous niece, was in the nativity play.
Bless. Aww.
And she was a shepherd. So I like that there was a bit, you know.
Were the children dressed as like sheep and goats
there was,
and lambs?
I was like looking for the donkey because that was one of the songs they sang. Little donkey, little donkey. There
on
was
a
none
dusty
of that.
Road.
No, yeah.
When I was a kid onwards. And we did the nativity thing in church, I actually had like a little lamb head and we had like little ears and everything. Yeah.
I used to go every year as a shepherd and every Christmas Eve mass, I would wear my dressing gown and put a tea towel on my head with a headband.
Look, she was super cute and I love that the kids were in character the whole time. The one role that shouldn't have been in character that was, they used a real baby for baby in the manger.
Yeah, that's a thing now. Everyone's doing it. Yeah, everyone's doing it. They did it at my church, but the kid was like 3. It was a bit weird. I'm like, I only go to church once a year, but I thought Jesus was a baby.
It was a newborn.
It's like, who pushed that out?
Yeah.
It was a newborn in a non-air-conditioned little kind of mass, and the kids were like this little baby was clearly distressed and crying, and the kids are kind of like, Mary and Joseph are like a bit worried and pulling faces like, what do we do? Oh, my God. Anyway, the understudy was called.
Oh.
The doll.
Nice.
Yeah,
nice.
That's for the best.
It's all the children. Children, this is why you don't have premarital sex in your teens.
I think that's the thing. But, Mish, you had a wonderful Christmas, and I'd like to hear about it when we get back.
Sounds great. You're listening to Family Matters. We'll be back shortly.
The kids are all right. As for our presenters, Family Matters, Joy 94.9.
You are listening to Family Matters. I'm Beck here with Michelle and Gina. It's Girls Gone Wild.
It is.
Family
Girls
Matters
Girls Gone Wild.
Yeah. Girls on... Anyway. Now, this was not about me singing Michelle. Christmas, tell us.
Oh, okay. So I was lucky enough to be invited by the mother of a trans child to go out for dinner in the city. So me, her, and her child, we went out. And we had a lovely teppanyaki for dinner.
Oh, that's very fancy.
Very fancy. And actually, there was hardly anyone there when we sat down and had a bite to eat, which was lovely.
But that's like every Christmas meal because someone usually ends up throwing food at the other person.
Yeah. Exactly. And then it was funny because the little one keeps going, so when are they going to throw food at me? And we didn't have like the fancy one. The guy who's like the top chef who's like throw shit. The guy was cooking, but he wasn't very entertaining. So it's like, oh, okay.
The understudy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so then I had a friend of mine actually invite, because I'm every year now since coming out, I've been an orphan. And so I went to my best friend's house and I spent the night and had Christmas morning with her and her family. And I got lots of baby cuddles and everything. And we substituted the paper bonbon hats with nurse's holiday caps, which was very interesting looking.
Fun.
But I went home. I know, it's kind of nice. Anyway, so I went home.
It's getting hot in here.
And so I went home and I expected just to pick up my children from my ex's parents' house. Well, next thing I know, I walked in expecting, okay, put my head down. You just, yes, in, out. Thank you very much. Just be polite. No, they invited me to stay for dessert from Christmas lunch. They invited me to stay and actually come in the room and watch the children open their presents. My ex-mother-in-law brought me a box of chocolates that were wrapped up, and she goes, oh, you know, I was thinking about you because she saw me sitting there not opening anything. And I was like, oh wow. Like I actually, it really touched me that much that I actually snuck off to the toilet and actually started crying a little bit.
Aww.
Because it was just heartfelt.
Yeah.
And that's really nice.
Yeah. And the next thing you know, they allowed me to go swimming in the pool with the kids and, I hung out for dinner and it was just unreal. And so as I was leaving, I said, I wanted to thank her and say, you know, thank you. I really appreciate it. I said, I know how much you wanted the children around. I said, normally you hate when the other kids leave with their dad. So, I just wanted to thank you very much. Well, she went to my sister-in-law, whatever, and said, that's it. I am no longer going to call Daniel. I need to start referring to Daniel as Michelle. I need to, because I was going by many different names all Christmas Day. I've got Ani Mish, I've got Michelle, I've got Daniel.
You start to do anything.
He walks into a toilet, it's not dad, it's mom.
Exactly.
It's like, oh, hey, oh my God. Yeah.
And so then she said next year she will be part of Christmas with us and joining in KK.
Aww.
And I'm like, oh my. Like, it was
That's
really
beautiful. Yeah. And how nice for your kids.
Yeah.
I know,
like,
right?
The girls would have just been like, this is cool.
I know.
The girls probably didn't even notice.
No, they
didn't.
They
were just like, hey, this
is normal.
Awesome.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's normal.
And so, you know, there can be good times. And sometimes, you know, it isn't easy to deal with family. And I think just sometimes just taking it on the chin a few times can result in something really good. I'm not saying always back down and bow down to other people's nonsense, but there are some who just don't understand, and you have to have a little bit of patience yourself. So.
They have to get there in their own time.
Exactly.
Oh, that's
well, that
beautiful.
Is a nice Christmas story.
That is.
Thank you. Yeah, and I thought so too. And it's not often you hear those kind of stories. And for me, you know, it isn't about the presents. It isn't about the lights. It isn't about any of that stuff. Sometimes it's just having somebody say, look, let's grab a chair. We've made room for you at the table.
Mm. Beautiful.
Aww. Frank, I'm going to sneak off to the toilet.
Now, speaking about coming out and all kinds of things, we have a guest tonight from Hares and Hyenas. His name is Roland.
We do have a lovely guest.
Hello, Roland.
That was such a beautiful story.
Oh, thank you.
We're all just going
to... You can sneak off to the toilet with me, Roland, and cry. It's cool.
Now, Roland, I'm super excited to have you guys in, well, yourself in today, because I was telling the team earlier, I actually bought some books that I purchased many years ago from your Brunswick Street store, which we were kind of looking at the dates, and it's around 1995, when I was about 16 or 17. Mm-hmm. Hares and Hyenas was the first gay space that I walked into. Now, this is a period
of
time.
Here you are now.
And here I am. See what can happen if you go to books.
Now she's a super lesbian.
Now I'm a super... I know, I have to figure out what I'm going to do next year. But it was such an important space for me, walking, because we didn't have the internet.
No.
There was no minus 18.
Yep.
I was definitely in the closet, happy to be gay, but didn't want to tell my Greek parents. So I remember walking, taking that brave step in and just being excited to see other gay people and then to just see gay books and just see gay magazines and just gay stuff.
So was this before or after the doctor intervention?
This was before.
Oh, wow.
This was well before. This is when never uttered the words to anyone. So to walk into a bookstore was a really big deal, and I was made to feel extremely safe by the staff.
Well, that's good.
Who recommended a beautiful book for me. So we were talking about it before, Ruby Fruit Jungle by Rita Mae Brown.
That's right.
And a history book as well.
Making History.
Like
Eric Marcus.
And so, I love that you know the title. I'm just like,
well, I mean, that's a story that I think a lot of people would relate to. We've seen over the years so many people, and some people will come in for the first time very confidently, and others will just wander in, wander out, and you'll see them over can be months or years, and slowly get the courage to sort of pick up their first book or something. Yes.
But this isn't, you're not talking just, you said over the past, you know, couple of years or so. We're talking 25 years.
Yeah, well, couple of years. It's all relative to your age, percentage-wise and all that.
Now, one of the things I said to Dina, I said, it's funny how a lot of times it always sort of starts with a book.
Mm.
And a magazine or a book or something along the lines of something in print around those times. But I grew up in the Midwest of the U.S. in the Bible Belt, so I didn't have access to any of these sorts of things. Again, no internet, none of that stuff. I'm thinking back 25 years ago. And like for me, my Playboy and my thing was making faces that I remember going in and at like 11 o'clock at night at Barnes and Noble. And there's this makeup book that I was just like, here I am in my Letterman's jacket from high school. And I get this book and this lady comes up to me and says, can I help you? And I'm like, right, smack against my chest going, no, it's okay. You know, and it's funny how afraid and ashamed we are sometimes. And just to get that one to we feel normal.
I wasn't ashamed. I was just super excited to be there.
My first book would be Gore Vidal's Julian. And it was on my mother's bookshelf. Of all the books on the shelf that I picked out, that I had no reason to pick that one. But Julian was about a Roman emperor who was, well, gay or weird. And I just started reading it. I don't know why I picked it up. There's a whole section on sort of eunuch sex life in there that I just found so erotic. Mm. And it's just, yeah, I mean, there's always those connections with, especially before, as I said before, the richness that we have now, that people, there's a book that will connect people to their life.
Now, Beck, what about you? What was your first book that made you realize that you were heterosexual?
Oh, and into cricket.
I think it was Steve Waugh's West Indies Tour Diary. A classic.
And it's made you what you are today.
That's right. That's right.
And you didn't wear your whites.
No, not today.
They got rained out.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm going to keep that phrase.
Exactly. Roland, I'm interested in why you think even now, given so many things are accessible on the internet, why a bookshop is still such an important space?
Well, for a start, it's the physicality of it. I think cities that don't have a queer bookshop have something lacking in that you arrive in a city, if you're a tourist, you don't have a focus. I mean, there's bars and things, but a bar doesn't connect with everyone, and it also doesn't connect, it only connects with a certain interest of people's. So I think that physicality is a real important as well. So, books themselves, I think there's something about again, the physicality of a book that you can hold, that you can keep. It becomes part of, you know, one of your treasures. So there is an emotional connection that I don't think you can get in the same way from even from
Kindle.
Kindle or from DVDs, even like films. Yeah. I mean, people will have the films that they connect with, but yes, the books just have something special.
Well, it's funny. I really didn't even think about this until now. Click, like myself, when I first started looking on the internet for stuff around transgender, everything that came up was, well, inappropriate or pornographic or whatever. I really couldn't find any material that actually I could relate to specifically. Mm. But I remember coming into Hares and Hyenas earlier in the year, this year, and seeing all the different books that were there for trans kids, the many different stories from around the world that you could easily relate to, share with my two daughters or whatever, that actually normalizes who we are.
That's right. I mean, we are a specialist. We have got booksellers have a knowledge behind them. So a bookshop is a lot more than just books on a shelf. Mm. It's the knowledge of the owners and the people that work there. And it is the collection is curated. So you see the broad gamut of whatever subject matter you're looking at, and in the instance of trans issues, I mean that's really developed over the 20. When we first opened, I mean we're looking at Janice Raymond's, you know, anti-trans book and things like that. Whereas it's developed its own body of knowledge now, and which is fantastic. Mm.
Over 25 years of being in the community, what's been something that's really stood out to you in the changes in Melbourne and say the rainbow community?
Things have just developed so strongly. One of the things that I find quite different now from 25 years ago is that we have a lot less people coming in buying books for their parents for coming out. I mean, it still happens, but we have parents coming in saying, look, we think our child's gay, have you got a book for them? Which is such an impossible thing because, you know, the kid has to come to terms with them within themselves first. But they can see it and it's like the curtain for people, older people, when they came out, you know, their parents might have after coming out, they could say, well, we could see it. But now they're actually being more proactive.
See, if your parents had brought you into Hares and Hyenas and said, taking you to the doctor, you could have saved yourself so much, you know, mental health pain. And one day your parents might find you a book on being coming out as heterosexual. It's okay.
Thank you. Thank you, Michelle, for including me.
You're welcome. We will be back shortly. You are listening to Family Matters.
The life issues that, well, matter. Family Matters on Joy 94.9.
Welcome back. You are listening to Family. I like this. Can we keep this music going in the background?
Cute.
It is kind of cute.
Yeah, it's off now.
Now, Hares and Hyenas, you are not just a bookshop. You are a meeting place, a coffee shop.
That's right.
What else are we? All kinds of things.
Events. Yes. Absolutely.
I know when I was.
So now you can take your child in. Buy them a latte or iced tea or something.
You're not going to buy your child a latte.
I don't think you buy children.
Your child would spin like the Tasman Devil
Gino.
Throughout the room.
Clearly,
baby
I'm not a parent.
Baby Gino for free.
Baby
you buy a latte for yourself and then you get a.
And then you can give them the book and say, now I think we need to talk about you being a lesbian.
Oh, is that one?
No.
you think your 3-month-old baby's gay.
No. You go and give them a latte and then read them the book, go the F to sleep.
Are there books about gay babies?
Okay. Can we? So I was looking at your book selection.
Yes.
So you have a massive range of books, and I doubt these were the books that were there 25 years ago, though.
Some of them are a bit dusty. So
a little bit dusty. And I think I've got two of the dustiest ones that I bought 20 years ago. I've got here in my hot little hands, Daddy's Roommate. And Beth, which...
That's what she said.
There is a sequel to that, Daddy Gets Married.
Daddy Gets Married.
No. But not in Australia.
Well, this was would have been late 90s, Daddy Got Married.
Daddy visited New Zealand.
this was written in 1990. And Beck, you've also got another one, I think by the same author, is it?
Yes. Yeah. I've got Uncle What Is It is Coming to Visit about gay Uncle Brett. But... This is gorgeous. I read it just before. These kids' mum tells them that Uncle Brett's coming and he's gay, and they different people on the street tell them about being gay, but I love it. This is my favourite bit. He rocks up and they say, "Are you Uncle Brett?" I asked. "Are you really gay?" asked Tiffany. "Where's your fruit hat?" No, "Where's your black leather suit?" You know, with the chains and stuff. I was like, that's gorgeous. I love it.
And I bought these kids' books 20 years ago. I doubt you could write a kid's book like this now and get away with it.
Oh, no.
Well, it wouldn't sell that.
Except
if it was retro. You know, But Alison, who published those, also published Heather It's Two Mummies, which is still around and has its first English edition last year where Mommy was changed to Mummy, which is nice.
Wow.
Because it was always, I mean, the problem with so many of the books is that they're American. Mm. And with kids' books, I mean, it's the same as, you know, Sesame Street, when you have to read Mommy to your kid instead of Mummy. So it was great that they brought it out.
But see, what's funny is I saw the title of this and I'm thinking, what is it? That's probably what my kids, my niece and nephew probably call me is Uncle What Is It? So, you know.
I don't think that was the intention of that one.
Well, you know, it's kind of...
We did take a gorgeous photo because it does represent what they consider it to be a leather bear. And we took a photo
I did actually just share it on Instagram
gorgeous,
and Twitter.
Yeah.
Of our...
With our Mark, with our bear.
Our Mark the bear. I still love that Daddy's got a roommate, but I love the mustache of one of the daddies.
I know. Daddy looks a bit Freddie Mercury, I think.
He looks a bit 70s Daddy.
Yeah.
They're kind of hot still.
Anyway, we're getting into a weird area here. Yeah, that's from a lesbian, so she thinks a drawing of a man is hot.
But I still love the whole, now adding your whole latte thing with the whole, the book, anyway. Those are the books here going, the go the F to sleep.
So yes, yeah. I can imagine 25 years ago, these were some of the earlier kids' books.
That's right. There was one shelf with the kids' books.
How many?
They would have been mostly from Alison.
And how many are we looking at now? It is.
It just keeps growing. And I mean, the really good thing is they keep selling as well, which is great. So there's a lot of self-published as well because, you know, the parents have realised that the book there's not the book for their own kids, so they write one, and then they and quit things like introducing Teddy,
which has been so successful
into 11 languages. It's just amazing phenomenon. And but yeah, so there's others, and the latest one, Enid Has Two Mummies, which
came out today.
I haven't had a look at it yet, but it's on the shelf and everything. The numbers would be, we've got a whole bay, and then it's squeezed into the gay romance section. So it's taken a shelf of gay romance, and it's taken a shelf of lesbian romance as well. So, that the kids are just taking over.
There's no room for lesbian romance anymore.
It's not romance anymore. It's parenting.
Yeah, that's
do you have a book that in there maybe says Daddy Has Boobs Now or something like that?
Well, you might. That's it.
Self-publishing.
Maybe
you could write that, Michelle.
I was thinking the one going, her two moms. I'm kind of going close.
Yeah.
there's one, The Leopard Changes Spots, which is about a leopard who changes into a lion, and the kids have to get sort of accepting of that.
Okay.
So did you imagine stocking these books when you first opened up? Do you imagine the clientele were wanting these?
Well, look, because the gaby boom sort of developed, and it was like, well, it's going to have to be the books for them as well. Mm. So we knew it was coming. But the reality of it is such a much more pleasant surprise than just imagining it.
Now, I'm curious. So 25 years ago, and the books you would have stocked at that time, compared to, say, some of the books you're stocking now, were a lot of the books then very similar to what you're stocking now, or were there more?
There was a I think the complexity of the issues, there is more complexity now, because the people were writing about their own experience, I think, because they haven't been written about before. But it, like all areas, they develop, and the readers develop, and those coming after, new readers, are a lot more sophisticated than earlier, because they know what's out there. So I think everything develops along those lines. So yes.
Are we seeing a lot more local content? Because one of the things we were talking about when you came in earlier tonight is, I would always go into the book. I'd always take my pocket money into Hares and Hyenas in those early days, and I'd buy one bit of fiction and one bit of non-fiction. And I was reading a lot of the history books, so Making History, and I think it was Boots of Leather, Slippers of Gold was the other one.
Yep.
But they were all American. That's so right, all I was reading about was the American LGBT, history revolution. Yep. And I was never getting any local content. Has that changed?
Well, look, yes, it has. I think the local archives has done quite a lot, and Graham Willett's book Living Out Loud, which came out, well, it would have come out late 90s, was sort of an early one, and more recently the Queer Secret History of Melbourne is another one. And then it's also incorporated in things like Rise Up, which is a history of activism in Australia, and there's quite a big section on queer activism in that. People like Dennis Altman's Queer Wars and stuff. So, which is more non-fiction than history, but yeah. So, yes, there's been quite a few that, but I think there was a time in around 1997, 98 where there was a real strong push for publishing, and that brought out a lot of titles, and that's sort of like a heyday that sort of came and went as well. So things are never linear. They're always backwards and forwards a bit. So, but I think at the moment there's quite a lot of both nonfiction and fiction around.
Fantastic.
Roland, I was interested before when you were saying that some people come into the bookshop and they're very confident. Some people come in and then they come back. Are you really conscious of that in working in the shop about making it a really comfortable space?
When we used to have two dogs or a dog in the shop, our dogs at the moment would rush out and attack another dog if they were in the shop on their own. But we used to love having the dogs in the shop because people could come in and they didn't have to, they could focus on the dogs.
And
get used to the space. So we've always been aware of that and have always tried to make it quite comfortable for people. We sort of give them, you know, do you need any help, and then leave it to them. And now if they sit down and start reading, say, the gay papers and stuff, we don't hassle them if they want to have a coffee or anything. We wait to if they want to come up and ask for a coffee and stuff.
So we do
things like that.
I wish you had a cafe in the Brunswick Street store, because I'd get
well,
the
we
gay...
had, there was the Angel Cafe next door.
There was, and that's probably where I'd end up.
Yes, I'm sure you would.
Because the waitress is kind of cute. And I would devour that paper, and then I'd have to destroy the evidence before I went home. Because, it was my little... 2 hours in Brunswick Street, you know, buying books, hiding those books. And thankfully the covers never gave me away. Oranges are not the only fruit. My parents just thought I was into whole horticulture. It's probably, you know,
fashion with
the good Greek you are. Exactly.
They probably worried you had a shoe fitting.
Exactly. Well, that's not a bad thing, is it? No, not at all.
Well, especially when we were in Commercial Road, we used to have a lot of private school kids come in their school uniforms and read the papers and then each week, because papers were weekly at that stage, and they'd leave and stuff. It's sort of a bit harder over here to recognise school kids because they're not in uniform anymore.
Not as much. They're not supposed to be, actually. Yep. I'm very. I'm thinking back of myself.
I didn't.
You're a popular man.
Sorry about that. I don't know how to
I think that's the first time that's happened to me.
Yeah. You're getting a fine.
I usually have it on silent all the time.
Well, speaking of messages, we've actually got one all the way from London.
Oh, hello.
From Dave.
Oh, Dave.
Dave is sending in a message saying, can someone look after Beck while I'm away? Oh, dear.
What does he think? I can't do anything without him. I'm the one in charge in that relationship, David. I'm going to send him a message and tell him I'm fine. We can do the show without him.
Yes, we can do it.
Yeah, I think you're doing very well. I don't know this person, but
no.
I'll
don't worry. Thank you, Roland. Yeah. You can when he comes back,
they can give me a reference. They could stay away.
Yeah, that's right. That? Oh, how funny.
Now, we've got a message in saying the name of the bookshop, The Gentleman, Roland, you're a gentleman, is speaking about
on
the radio just now.
You get to a certain age and you get more mentions of gentlemen. Used to be the boys, and now you walk into a shop and it's the gentleman.
Well, just to remind everyone, we are speaking with a lovely Roland from Hares and Hyenas, which has just celebrated 25 years. And it's fascinating to see how much you've seen the community change in this 25 years.
That's right, yes.
Now, I was looking through the categories of books, and of course, there are the same categories that I remember when I was a young'un going in, everything from sex manuals to coming out books and DVDs. Mm-hmm. But now you've got young adult titles, kids picture books, and parenting books. Now, I'd really like to know what sort of parenting books you've got when we come back. Now, if you would like to join this conversation, please feel free, and maybe Michelle's reading one out. Feel free to message in on 0427JOY949 or email us on air at joy.org.au.
Why am I thinking like parenting books of Don't Pull on Daddy's Mustache? You know, just something. Yeah.
Well, there was a title you guys all know about, and we'll talk about that when we get back in just a sec.
You are listening to Family Matters on Joy 94.9. That was hard, Michelle. You did well there.
Did you like that?
There were some hard words in that. We should all go to the Joy website more often.
We all should.
Now, we are with the lovely Roland from Hares and Hyenas Bookshop.
Yeah. Still here.
Still here.
And we can go there, have a coffee, and visit the website there.
That's right. There's so much.
Have you got Wi-Fi? Can we use your Wi-Fi?
At the moment, no. We've got to work out a new system. But apart from that, everything else is working.
Now, Roland, people say that bookshops are dead because of the internet, bookshops and internet and those sorts of things.
We won't die.
I was going to say, you don't see, you still think there's a really important place for you?
Yes. A few years ago, with the beginning of e-books, everyone goes, e-books, that's jazz hands for anyone who listens to the radio.
We got to enjoy them.
That's right. But I think a lot of that newness has gone from ebooks, and people have come back to books because there is, I find reading on a screen really hard a way to relax. Needed on paper to relax. I think we've had our strongest year in quite a few years this year, both in books and events. So we're feeling very optimistic for 2017.
Excellent.
And I love sharing a book. I love a book that I've read that I've really enjoyed. And
we don't. encourage that. We'd prefer that.
Everyone should buy all new copies.
A gift.
Yeah, okay, then I will gift. I'll buy them a second book.
No, but
because you can't lend someone something on your Kindle.
So many people go, oh, I've lost that book because I lent it.
Mm. Yes. So,
you should buy them their own copy.
That's right.
True. I might do that from now on. Now, there are some, again, we were talking about the categories of books. So there's young adult titles, there's kids' picture books, which have been around forever. But parenting books. I saw you've got a lot of categories under parenting books alone.
Yes.
Can you talk us through some of those?
Well, for a start, there's the ultimate guide for pregnancy for lesbians, which goes through the whole different procedures and stuff. We're also get referrals from the Victorian Assisted Reproductive Technologies Association. So we've got a lot of the UK Donor Conception Network books, which look at ways of telling the kids the way they were conceived and stuff. Yeah. So there's that whole side. There's a whole about four or five books on how to encourage gender creative kids. So things like Beyond Pink and Blue, which sort of look at ways of parenting that don't sort of force gender stereotypes onto kids as well. So there's that whole area as well.
Anything for gay dads and surrogacy and that sort of stuff?
Look, it's funny. It's an area that there has been a few, but nothing that's really stuck around.
Mm. Maybe there's a market for us to write a book.
A few years ago, there was a couple of photo books, photo essay type books on gay male parents and stuff.
Some more personal stories.
Yeah, personal stories and stuff. There seems to be a move away from things like books about kids of gay parents. There hasn't been anything published around that area for a little while. Mm. So, that's not such a big area. There's been a couple of transgender, my transgender child, Transitions of the Heart, which is personal stories of mothers of transgender kids. Beyond Magenta, which is personal stories of transgender kids as well. And also the one that came out at the end of this, well, a couple of months ago, which is Transgender Teen, which is written by the same person that did Transgender Child. So there is quite a broad range of things, especially around gender, which seems to be, and that's the same with picture storybooks. Mm. There's quite a few around gender coming out. So it's sort of quite a strong area.
I can imagine the lesbian pregnancy book. Yeah. You know, well, I could see it now. It'd be like an IKEA instruction manual. We call it The Colors of Plaid.
Alan Key. Pop-up section.
The Alan Key.
And are most of these self-published titles? Or are you finding big publishers are taking these?
Well, that's people like Cleese, who have been around for 30 years, which is a major independent publisher in the US that started off as a feminist publisher and then saw, as the feminist bookshops slowly dwindled, that they'd have to move into another area. And so they went into a lot of sort of gay male area as well, and also in the non-fiction, sort of broadened that out as well. So that would be one of the main publishers in that area.
Do you see any other types of categories that you could see yourself bringing into the shop as well that you haven't really touched on?
What would you like to see, maybe? What are people asking for? Because there's always, you know, you walk in and you'll say, I want the book on blah, which teaches me how to blah.
Yeah.
Is there something blah has not been
I suppose the area that there's would be the in the last year that's been published in would be intersex. There's been about three or four titles over this year that have been published, whereas we couldn't get anything before, or there'd be one or two. Asexuality, there's been just one or two have been published. And then it's one non-fiction and one fiction, one or two fiction in asexuality as well.
So what about our hetero friends?
Yes. What about us? No one writes books for us anymore.
No, there's no titles for hipster.
Nah. You could always write a book, come to the other side of the rainbow.
So. It'd be really tacky, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Completely.
Title. I know.
And the cover would just be,
No one would be.
And all the marketing brown, that would probably go with
that. Oh, I mean, a bit
we might stock it just to.
Just to keep them happy.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Now, what I'd like to know is, well, I know you have lots of events that are on regularly. There are regular meet groups and stuff, but that's it's right. Summer.
Yes.
There's a few more. I've got a little
our regular events, Stitch and Bitch, and a couple of book clubs and the comic book club, the beds and board games night. starting with midsummer, we've got, I think, about 21 events. I haven't actually counted them, but around 21 events over the 2.5 weeks. Everything from a trivia night. We've got the launch over our Silver Threads, our 25th anniversary season. We recorded a lot of the nights, and Melbourne City Library have turned them into podcasts. And so we're having a night to celebrate that, as well as I think we've got about eight artists exhibiting, and so there's an exhibition launch for that. We've got Jules Wilkinson doing a nostalgia night about technology. Justice and Trainwreck, which is a comedy duo that are two gay cowboys that try to change history, but all they can do is try and have a sexual congress instead.
It does sound more fun.
Would you rather change history, or would you give up
I'd
a night?
I'd rather have sex with a cowboy. Anyway, this is not about me.
That's actually in one of the kids' books. Wasn't it? No, I kid you not. It was Hell's Angels.
Rapid Fire, which we've been doing for the 25 years, and I think we're up to nearly 50 renditions of it. We've done it at everything from Midsummer to Melbourne Writers Festival to the Gay Games in Sydney. So that's 12 writers with 6 minutes each, which is always a great night. So.
Do you get many more young writers coming through?
You have to try and find young writers, which can be harder as you become more established yourself, in that you've got that distance from the new writers and stuff. But hopefully we've kept up with new writers as well.
Well, if anybody's looking to actually get me any last-minute Christmas gifts, I would love to have this title to read to my children.
I love that title. Can we talk about that title just on the way back? I know we've only got 5 minutes, but we're not missing that
missing it
at
all.
I need to know about this book.
There's more from the Family Matters team in just a moment on Joy 94.9.
Yeah, we're a bit silly, aren't we?
Oh, definitely.
Yes.
Classic
we've been reading
Family Matters.
Your text messages, haven't we, Roland?
Misspelt text messages. Well, I think it might be misspelt, but,
Let's hope.
I might have a different evening ahead of me.
We might get you back on again to talk about that.
At 3 in the morning.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so we're talking about different categories of books at Hares and Hyenas, who are celebrating their 25th year of...
They're almost as old as
this.
And can I just say, one of the messages we got on Twitter when we announced the show was from Rainbow Family saying thank you for always supporting Rainbow Family. So you're clearly doing it.
And they've been a big supporter of us as well.
I feel a lot nicer.
L-O-V-E.
But there is a book that you stock. I saw it on your website, and you two have read it.
Yeah.
Everyone's read it, except me.
I don't have a copy of it, and I really want a copy of this book, just because the first time I read it, I absolutely was in tears.
So it's a book that you can't mention the title of.
No, we can't. Well, we can abbreviate it.
Go the F to sleep.
So this is a children's book.
On our website, even though on the Penguin website it has asterisks, but on our website we don't believe in this censorship.
You just put it out there.
Put it out there. But I will respect the confines.
Okay, so this is a bedtime book for parents who live in the real world, where a few snoozing kitties and cutesy rhymes don't always send a toddler sailing blissfully off to dreamland. Profane, affectionate, and radically honest. Pretty much every parent who's ever had a child Yeah, you pretty much will always say this. Go to sleep.
I buy it as a baby shower present. It's a great book.
I think a lot of people that don't have kids give it to people that have kids.
Yeah, that's exactly what I do.
Just say, this is what you're in for.
Yeah. I think there's like a sequel to it, Eat Your Effing Food or something like that.
Yes, there is.
Yeah. Weren't you telling me there are famous people that have done readings of
this? Yeah, Noni Hazelhurst. Yes.
Love Noni.
And she does it in this like beautiful play school voice. It's gorgeous.
Oh.
Samuel L. Jackson.
Oh.
He does a beautiful play school voice as well.
I love Noni.
I'd like him to put me
but
to sleep.
But the way
actually.
The F word rolls off his tongue, it just, it's magic. It just
coming over all funny. Roland, what is the book that we should be buying now? What's the book du jour?
The book du jour. Look, if I may, the book of the year, not the day. Let's go for the year. I would say it's a very unassuming book. It's called The Life and Death of Sophie Stark. Was my favourite book of the year, which is a fiction book about an independent filmmaker. She's a very horrible person, and it's told from the people that are around her in various stages of her life, and it's got a twist at the end that's just fantastic.
Oh, lovely.
I want to read that.
Well, Roland, we would like to thank you for coming in tonight. Jesus. As ever, we've been talking about Hares and Hyenas has been celebrating 25 years in the community. You can find them. Are you on Fitzroy or where are you at now?
We're in Fitzroy. We haven't moved in the last 10 years. So.
Beautiful. Well, we'll go and share the details on our Facebook page, which is facebook.com, Family Matters on Joy. We are Twitch. You can get us on Twitter, Family Matters 94. And if you want to reach out to us, it's familymatters@joy.org.au. If you have missed tonight's show or any other show that has come on before, you can get our podcasts.
Yep.
On the website, joy.org.au/.
And catch next week or last week's podcast because Dave will be issuing an apology when he returns in the country.
But we're now on iTunes.
Speaking of animals.
Woof.
It's time for the bears. Woof.
Good night, everyone.
You've been listening to Joy 94.9's Family Matters podcast, your light-hearted look at parenthood and rainbow families, sponsored by Berry Street. Did you know that Berry Street seeks members of our LGBTI communities to become foster carers? Not only do they have a proud tradition of training and embracing LGBTIQ carers, they officially support marriage equality. Learn more now at berrystreet.org.au, a proud Joy sponsor for over 5 years.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.